shout, and how we'll sing when redeemed. Are you in the reading? Aren't you glad you are when redeemed? Are you in the reading? Oh, watch like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, and how we'll sing with the redeemed. Again, the redeemed. One more time. With the redeemed. Again, the redeemed. Oh, watch like snow. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, with the redeemed. Again, the redeemed. The redeemed are gathering in. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? I'll tell you what, it gets much better. I don't know how we're going to stand it, Brother Terry. Do you? I just don't know. This just, it just gets gooder all the time, don't it? Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. Play a little bit more of it, brethren. Let's sing some more of that tonight. Play it with all your heart. And free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, with the redeemed. Again, the redeemed. Sing a verse of it.
Thinking of the rapture in our blessed morning. With the redeemed.
Oh, with the redeemed.
Our gathering end. I will raise a heavenly anthem.
Yes, we will. Time it's going to be. As good a time as we have here, just this flock that makes up this local body of believers, you can imagine what it's going to be like when we all get together, Brother Terry. My Lord, some of them won't know how to take us, but I know one thing, it's going to be great being there with them, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you will. I want to remember Sister Janet Kennedy, who is suffering from severe headaches. We want to remember her and her family in prayer, that the Lord will just be mindful of them. Also, if you continue to remember John and Beulah Hambrick, both of them in the hospital again. So just remember those folks as you pray tonight. Maggie Davidson from Arkansas called to request prayer for a test that she will be having on her kidney on February 2nd. The doctors have detected something And she is asking that we would pray that all will be well. So we want to just commit that to the Lord. Sister Simone Phillips says to please remember Brother Paul in prayer, suffering from a migraine headache. So let's pray for him tonight as we pray. Sister Rachel sends this in. I have an urgent unspoken prayer request from my husband. Also, they have a pet that they'd like for the saints to pray about, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Sister Winters says, I want to thank the Lord Jesus for completely healing my back. I was having constant pain on my from my neck all the way down my spine. I was healed when prayer was offered for me on Sunday. She wants to thank the Lord for that. So praise God. Amen. Well, isn't God good? Amen. Sister Connie Cook says she has a couple of unspoken prayer requests. The Lord knows all about that. I want to remember a patient of Brother Keith Phillips. She tried to take her life this week, going through some very serious emotional phases of her life. So remember that prayer request. I want to pray for an unspoken request for Anna Lytle, also for a young girl whose baby has RSP. So let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Bean wants us to remember Sister Katie in prayer tonight. She is homesick. Also, Brother Ed Binkley is having surgery in the morning to fix a torn ligament and bicep in his arm. So we want to remember him in prayer tonight as we pray. Please remember Sister Gail, Brother Sam Clark. Both are sick, unable to be in the service tonight. We want to pray for those folks. Brother Barry English wants us to remember a friend of his whose wife has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's undergoing chemo at this time, needs a lot of prayer, so we'll remember that tonight. And then Brother Barry wants us to remember him, his sugar. He checked it before he came to the service tonight. It was 500. I told my wife I wanted to come. I won't let the devil keep me from coming to church. Keep me in your prayers. So praise the Lord. Let's just pray for our brother that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for Brother Joel Brown tonight, not feeling well, so let's remember him. Brother Amos Cutts sends this in. Brother Mike Cummington, a pastor of Roanoke, Virginia, suffers from painful neuropathy and sugar diabetes, which is affecting his eyesight. And Brother Amos told him that we would remember him tonight in our prayer as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Well, aren't you just glad God's bigger than all of our problems? Aren't you glad you're serving an all-sufficient God tonight? Somebody say he's real. Somebody say I believe he's really real. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Brother Joe, come tonight if you would. Pray over these requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, another night, Lord, that we could come worship around your word, Lord. Lord, as we were singing when the redeemed are gathering in, Lord. Lord, I was just thinking we don't have to wait till we get on the other side to have a good time around your word, Lord. Lord, we can sit with you in heavenly places, Lord, around your word, Father, to get a foretaste, Lord, of what it's going to be when we get on the other side, Lord. Lord, as we tarry here to your coming, Lord, I pray with all my heart, Lord, that we can bring a reproach on everything that Satan stands for, Lord. Lord, everything we could do, Father, to bring a reproach on his name, dear Lord. May that be my goal in life, Lord, that everything that he stands for, Lord, may it be said on the other side, Lord, that I stood against it, Father. Lord, as the bride of Christ moves forward, Father. Lord, as we've been hearing more and more of your word, Father, getting a better look at ourselves, Lord, seeing ourselves in the word, Lord. Lord, it can't do nothing but produce a rapture, Father. Lord, as we look at these requests, Lord Jesus, we want to give you praise and glory, Lord, for touching our sister winners, dear Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we're expecting more testimonies of healing, deliverance, Lord, in the services to come, Father, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And you said you change not. Lord, as we come tonight, Father, as the bride of Christ, Lord, may we take the hand of faith in these requests, Lord, and hand them right back where they came from, Father. Believing for our healing, believing for our deliverance, Lord. Healing depression, Lord. Healing cancer, Lord. It's nothing to you, Father. We thank you for it, Lord, as this service continues, Lord. We pray that, Lord, as it were, that you would have the floor, Lord. You would have this service, Lord, to move everything aside that would hinder us, Lord. That would hinder Brother Louie. That would hinder these musicians, Lord. That would hinder us from worshiping, Lord. We give it to you, Lord. As our brother comes to bring the word, Lord, may you get him out of the way. Anoint him, Father. Lord, he's got nothing in himself to say, Lord. But, Lord, he wants to yield to you that you can speak to your bride, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. And we ask you to come now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. God bless you tonight. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have each and every one of you in the service with us tonight. Those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Brother Michael Bailey wanted me to make this announcement for him tonight. We need 50 volunteers to put together MP3 sets after service over in the fellowship hall. How many of you will go over and volunteer your services tonight? Well, it'll take us till about in the morning to get that done then. How many of you going to go to the fellowship hall and help us do that tonight? Well, it may be getting down about midnight then. How many of you going to the fellowship hall tonight? Well, don't worry. You'll go one way or another. I'll come get you. We need help. It's not a bad job. It didn't take long at all the last time when this was done. It's an easy job. Greg, you're going, aren't you? Yeah, you're going. Amen. We need some help over in the fellowship hall to help Brother Michael out. It won't take but just a few minutes if we'll all just go over there and do that. Or at least 50 of you, 50 of us, we'll go over there and do that tonight. Let's sing a song. The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on. Brother Trevor Lee, we'll just go on, won't we? Let's sing that tonight. I feel like traveling on. That's not it, Brother Eric. That's a different one. There you go. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling. been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is right and there. I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus together tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. I just aggravating you a minute ago when I said I'd come get you. I really won't come get you. But let's do go to the fellowship hall and help tonight if you will. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. In the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Now sing with all your heart, church. Just turn. Oh, sing it to Him. Look full and the things of this world will grow strange. Let's sing it again. Sing it to Him with all your heart now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And the things of this world will grow strangely dim if the light of His glory.
Oh, I wonder, can we just sing it to Him one more time? Sing it one more time, Brother Harry. Hallelujah. Oh, let's bless his name for just a minute, church. Has he been good to you today? Has he been good to you this week? Has he given you grace this week? Oh, don't you love him with all your heart? Blessed be the holy name of God. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight, Lord. We lift your name up. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for your love. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Redeeming us, oh God. Thank you for everything you mean to us, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. We bless your name tonight, Lord. We bless your holy name in this service tonight, Father. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Sister Winters, if you'll come, give us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service. Brother John, we'll get you this weekend if it's all right with you.
Trusting. sing that sweet story. I've been saved by His grace, and then above that golden strand, I'm gonna praise Him for His guide, and I'm trusting.
What a comfort that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. The secret of our lives. You realize you're a very complex, complex creature on the earth. You're very unique in the way that God has placed you here to serve His purpose. You kiss the cup of the heavenly blessings, soar from heavenly realms, and fight battles like no other mortal can ever even understand. All that in mind, what a privilege it is for us to be His people.
Amen.
For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Immortality might be swallowed up of life. Now let's read this in Melchizedek again that we've been looking at for a few weeks. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Now we see here plainly the complete secret. The complete secret of our lives. In journey, in death, and where we go after we die. The three pulls or the three stages of you. Journey and death and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. Listen as we teach this closely. The stages of the eternal purpose He had in His secret has now been revealed. And we would like to be remembered in prayer tonight as we approach the Word. I've got a person on my heart tonight. I really can't go into any details about the situation with the brother. It's a physical thing. I was just contacted before I came out, but it's a brother, preacher friend of mine that's in real real need in his body tonight, right now in the hospital and doing some tests. So I'd like you to also to remember him as well as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for that great unseen hand. How grateful we are to know that it's that that's guided us all of our lives. Lord Jesus, we are grateful to know that whenever we come up to the things of life, Lord Jesus, that we do not understand, we cannot see, we have no idea what lays before us. We're so grateful that you know every avenue, every corner of our life, every step that we'd ever make. You knew about it before the foundation of the world. So we pray tonight that you would help us. You saw the hands of your children that were uplifted. Father, you see the need of this brother tonight, Lord. They've just asked me not to mention his name or any details, but dear God, in the name of Jesus, you know where he is. Father, you see the situation. I pray the Spirit of God would go to our brother now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, may you move by your mighty power. Heavenly Father, take your word tonight, I pray, and speak to us, Lord. We've not come here because it's a routine nor a ritual. We've come here to feed and to be in fellowship with you and with our brothers and sisters. May we be benefited by our gathering together tonight, Father, in the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I will admit to you tonight that there's much about the plan of God in our lives that is a mystery to me as we look at it and try to understand why we go through certain things and why God allows every individual according to the way that they need it. They will face things, things that will try them, things that will bring out things about them that only tests and trials and things like that can do. And it's really a marvel when you look at what we are once we're truly born again, because that attribute which comes straight from the presence of God, it does not actually become more of God once you're born again, but it only brings it to a recognition and a place of fellowship and servitude into the presence of God. But the gene of God does not become more a gene of God once you receive the Holy Ghost. If it's a gene, it always was a gene. When you was out there in the world before you ever knew anything about the Lord really and about His truth, it was just as much that gene of God as it is tonight. You sitting here filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet because of that place that you were, it could not really have the proper effect on you. It could not be able to have the right kind of influence on you. But once you become born again, that it places you into a different place to where that then you've heard from your theophany once you recognize the message, and then it puts you in a different sphere. But yet at the same time, it doesn't eliminate trials and tests. As a matter of fact, you'll have even more once you come into that place with God than you ever had in your entire life. And it's an amazing thing to look at how that God's people can live in such extremity of two separate worlds, because we can soar in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and yet at the same time have such things in our body, things in our spirit, things going on in our home or even in our church or our lives that can be absolute turmoil, upside down, office mess going on that ever was. And on the inside of you, you've got a perfect peace. And you think, my goodness, what a thing it is that you can be so upset in your body and in your spirit, and yet one realm inward from those two realms as absolute perfect calm. It does not shake. It does not quiver. Your soul needs no nerve pills. It needs no psychiatrist, psychologist. It doesn't need anything like that at all. And yet one realm out from that soul, your human spirit, the next realm out your body, you can be an absolute nervous wreck. Feel like you're about to pull every hair out of your head. Feel like if you had a gun, you'd kill yourself and everybody else around you at the same time. But on the inside of you, it is such a deep peace. It's beyond explanation. Now, I realize to those people who are not truly born again, to hear such a statement as that, they'd think I was absolutely nuts. And only really the born again can even understand that. Because those who are not really born again, now they may have a baptism of the Holy Ghost in their spirit, but that does not birth their soul. So they're still not to the extremity of the worlds that the real elect are. And because that part comes from God, born by the breath of God, puts you in that perfect fellowship of God. So now there you are in heavenly places. The tree of life is already blooming inside of you. Much of what, my friends, much of our inheritance that we think is going to be after a while, one of these days you're going to look back and realize once that eternity has struck your soul, that is already there in your soul. The Holy Ghost is there. The quickening power is there. Eternal life is there. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, it'll never be taken away from you. It is yours for eternity. And the prophet said, once you get that quickening power, it is eternal and it's yours forever. You ain't going to get no more of it once you get there than what you've got tonight if you got the Holy Ghost. But what changes? It's your body. You get rid of that old human spirit and your body gets a body that's glorified. But down in your soul, you'll not have one more ounce of the Holy Ghost once you get a glorified body than what you got tonight if you're sealed to the day of your redemption. Watch this. Now, whenever we come to this world, God... Let me just background for a little bit so you can kind of see the direction that we need to go. God called what Brother Branham called the regular line. That Jesus comes down the regular line before the foundation of the world. His name was from the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that he could become the Word, the theophany that could appear, disappear. Then he become flesh, returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. To be tempted by sin. Then if there is a tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet these bodies. Now this is one of the reasons that we are here. We are going to be tried. And you are not going to be tried just by the devil. The devil is going to be a cream puff. You think the devil is the one that's going to try you? You better wake up quick. It ain't the devil, my friends. It's God. It will be God himself that will try you. Now you can rebuke the devil and you can spit in his face. You ever tried to do that to God? I wouldn't advise it if I was you. Now God himself, when he tries you, now I want you to think, you know how to resist the devil. You know how to rebuke the devil. But how do you contend with God? When God himself allows you to be tried. What if you'd been the woman that day when Jesus told her, you're a dog. I'm not even sent to you. Boy, we'd have pouted and left and never come back, wouldn't we? She said, that's exactly right. I am a dog. I don't even deserve it, but I ain't leaving. Brother Ram said she had so much faith, Jesus himself couldn't run her off. Oh my. Hallelujah. Now it's something about the word that God loves. God absolutely, you know, I've done a study on this before and it's amazing when you really look into the message and in the scripture, the things that God loves. God don't love television. God don't love sports. God don't love all kinds of things that you and I love. But there are things that God loves that is very peculiar to us. And one of them is God loves to test you. He don't just like it. He actually loves it. It does something for him. Glory. What's this? Now, whenever you become quickened, then what happens is, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Not by birth now. But just throws it into subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Now the body's not born again. But it's thrown subjection. It's sort of like a law. Many folks thank God for the police force. We're grateful for the police force, for all these different things. If it wasn't there, think how much crime there would be. But yet you think of a real Christian, we don't actually even need Johnson City Police Force because we're not going to rob no banks. We're not going to rape. We're not going to mutilate. So they're not really needed for us, but it's needed there to help deter those who will do it and catch those who wind up doing it. So it's the same with the body. The body needs to hear scary sermons sometimes. But sometimes you need your hide burned up from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Glory. The soul don't need it, but the body does. Because the body is not subject yet, so it has to be whipped on a little bit every night to kind of get it lined back up. Now watch, it throws your body subject. Now you have to say, well, if I could quit drinking, if I could quit just get in Christ, then it's all gone, see? Because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. Now notice these terms and be careful when you listen to this. Subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead and your sins are buried in baptism and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But now here on the other part, now we look at this, the body is subject to the Word, but it's not the Word. The body minds the Word, but it's not the Word. Now we hear the Word with our ears, we clap with our hands, glory to God, hallelujah, but this body still is not the Word. And this body is subject to sin, it's subject to disease, it's subject to sickness, it's subject to death, and eventually, if we are not all changed, we will all die. I got the Holy Ghost, but your body ain't got it. This is part of the secret of our lives. Now, watch this. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, he says, if this earthly house be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have one. See, we bypass that to come straight from God, the attribute to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin. Like Adam did, but when testing of his word is over. Testing of his word is over. When the testing of his word is over. So has God got a new body for the Bible? Is the Bible going to get a new body? Are Brother Ben's tapes and books, are they going to get a new body when the testing of the word is over? That's not even the word God's testing. Well, glory. The Bible is the seed of God. We believe that. It's the Word, right? But the Bible is dead without the Holy Ghost to quicken it. Lifeless. Powerless. Glory. Woo! Oh, my. You can memorize the Bible frontwards and backwards and still be as dead as you could be until the Holy Ghost quickens that Word and makes it live. Now watch this, when the testing of his word is over, then we are taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It is the word. So that body I'm going to is the word. That seed that I am is the word. And the glorified body will be the word, so I'll be the word in the word in the word. I said I'll be the word in the word in the word. So it'll be the attribute of God in the theophany and the attribute in the glorified body, the Word in the Word in the Word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It is the Word that we skip to come right around down here to be tempted and tested. Now listen to this. If we'd have come through that, there'd been no temptation. But he didn't say Jesus. Because Jesus come that way. And face it, temptation. Tempted by women, tempted by drinking, tempted in all points like as we are. But if we would have come that way, there would have been no temptation. But notice how and what angle there would have been no temptation. If we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. We would have known all things. So you mean we would have skipped temptation about knowing that Jesus knew existed before. Now still when it's all said and done, I've not seen my name there. I believe I'm bride. You believe you are. We believe we're part of the Word. We believe we're this. But still, I'm saved as long as my faith is holding strong in God's Word. But if I ever get to the spot that I doubt and I question, it don't mean that God's left me. It means my faith has left His promise. But I'm still badgered, I'm still beat, and Satan can still come back and say, oh, how do you know you are? Prove it to me you are. I can't scientifically prove nothing to him. I can prove I'm a son of God. I cannot show him my seal. I cannot prove to him I have no token. And to be honest with you, I'm not even concerned about proving it to such a liar anyway. Why would I? You think he's going to let me alone if I prove it to him every day? Ain't no way he's going to do it. So if I would have come to that, then I would have not been tempted and tested in the way that I am. But Jesus could come through that and still be tested. Now notice, we would have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knew all things, because he was the Word before he was flesh. Then we become the Word. Now notice, as we're growing, feeding on the Word, then we're coming into the Word image. Here we're formed to the Word image, to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word, by being predestinated since the beginning. I love this quote. You see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning? Amen. When you started your journey, many of you can remember, you joined this church, joined that church, you tried this and that, nothing satisfied. But one day you just recognize it. Oh, how wonderful. Now we move from that over to another part of your journey. You, the child of God, the sheep, the Christian, that must be tested. What's this? How God loves to test his people. Isn't it amazing what he loves we hate? He loves it. We hate it. He brags on us. We bellyache and cry. How many wants a testimony? You want a testimony? We've looked at the word. Let's divide it again. T-E-S-T-I-M-O-N-Y. Testimony. And you do too. I'm only and groaning and complaining, and I don't like them, and no more than you like them. I don't like them, and God loves them. Do you see what I mean? It proves I need to be quickened, and you do too. What would it be, church, if you and I had the same view of tests that God has? That when we are tested and tried, that we'd say, glory to God, I love this. Somebody been hitting you up at your church wondering what kind of pills you've got. They'd be wanting some of them too. Now watch how God loves to test his people. Every child that comes to God must be tested, child trained. No exceptions. Some it will be their health. Some it will be their finances. Some it will be family members. Some it will be the church they go to. Yet they're supposed to go there, but it'll cause them hardships. Some it'll be the people they work with on the job. Some it may be this or that or the other. But every child of God will have tests and will be tested like none other on the earth. Now, there's folks around the message I know. I've seen some and even pastored some. They never went through tests. I never knew of anything they ever went through. They never asked for no help or never asked for no counsel, never asked for even any prayer in their life. I feel sorry for those folks, because you know what? They're not saved. A person that is not being tested is not a Christian. No, all you are is a religious fanatic around this message. If you're never tested, it means you're not making the devil mad. I say I'm going to be tested by some of the emails I'm going to get from some of you all. Amen. Now watch. He says, every child that comes to God must be tested, child trained. No exceptions. Everyone. Maybe tonight that you're sick, you just have to have a little child training. A little testing. Don't be discouraged. God's on the throne. He knows all things. I love this. This is the key to Romans 8:28. If we're truly born of the Spirit of God, everything's working together for our good. Does it work for everybody that claims to be a Christian? No. Only those that are born again. Oh my, so here we move from the attribute, theophany, morphe, all these wonderful deep things that we so love. And we move over into an avenue that God loves. And already, y'all ready to go to house. Now watch, Brother Bam says again, God always tests his children by his word. Did you hear that? God tests his children by his word. If you believe his word, God tests you by the word. Not by feelings. Not by feelings. I don't feel saved. I don't feel faith. I don't feel. That's not the way God tries you. You're going to be tested by the word. Why do we let our feelings lie to us? I don't even feel saved most of the time anyway. As far as feelings. Most of the time I come preach you folks, I don't feel like it. You feel like coming to church most of the time? Probably not. But Lou, you feel like saying most of the time? Probably not. Hey, you feel like playing the organ? Rest of your brothers feel like it? Y'all feel like doing what you do most of the time? Probably not. But it's my responsibility and I'm going to do it as long as I got breath in my body. Whether I feel it or whether I don't, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to put forth the effort. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do everything I know to do. I'm going to prove to my Lord and to you that I love him with all of my heart. Now watch this. Brother Man McGinn says, you know, he loves to test us. He loves to see the reaction of your faith. Did you know that? God likes to see how you react. When you say, oh Lord, I believe you. But that's words. Thou art my Savior. When you say, oh Lord, I believe you. Thou art my Savior. I believe that you're the healer. I believe you're the one who gives the Holy Spirit and the things that I'm requiring. Listen to this great confession now. And you're the God who gives it. And then when you confess all your sins and promise God what you'll do if he'll let you get well. And then because it don't happen, you run off like a coward somewhere. God can't use that. There's no way for him to use you. There's no way for him to answer you. Because he only answers by faith. So you tell him he's your Savior, healer, deliverer, provider, all these things you're saying, he's going to make you prove every one of them. Not the devil. God. Watch Brother Bram talking about the little woman with her meal barrel on the cruise of oil. That poor little woman. She knew he was God. That barrel went down, 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 down. Circumstances got worse all the time. But God was letting it get that way. He loves to do that. He loves to do that. Oh my goodness. He loves to put your faith to a test to see how you act on it. Let you be anointed and prayed for. Then make you worse. God? God? Amen. Don't you understand why Brother Bam said we make an idol out of him? What is idolatry? When people shape an image of a God of their own imagination. And then they worship that image accordingly. Don't you understand? When we shape an image of God, that is not true. When we say, oh, well, I'm sick, I'll get perfect, I'm supposed to get well. Whenever this, I'm this and this and this. And if we're not careful, we are making a God in our imagination. And then whenever he don't move the way we thought, we have made an idol out of him. Because he is a God of our own making. This is the real God right here. So he loves to try you. He actually loves when you come up at the end of the service to be prayed for. You follow that word to the letter. People pray for you and lay hands on you. And then you walk out. I can say it right now. Ain't going to be nobody coming up for prayer for the next 6 months. Then he loves when you're prayed for. Oh my, you might have felt it. I might have been anointed. The other brothers might have been anointed. And you walk out. And instead of getting better, that head feels like it's about to pop off of your head. Yeah. Off of your shoulders. And that toe ache and whatever. I said, Lord have mercy, I'm worse. I'm worse than what? Oh God, what's wrong? Nothing. He's checking you out. Watch. He loves to put your faith to a test to see how you will act on it. Let you be anointed and prayed for, then make you worse. And say, come on, Satan. Put him to a test now. Well, this is really encouraging, isn't it? Man, I'm so encouraged after this quote. Oh, this is wonderful. This has happened to me a lot of times. This encourages me to let me know there ain't something wrong. There's something right. So when I'm praying for and I get worse, I realize what? He allowed Satan to do that to trial me. So I'd say, the Lord give and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I realize, friends, they'll never let me preach on the 700 Club and the PTL Club and all the rest of the clubs. I'll never be invited to go down and, you know, again, stand on their great television programs and preach all the positive gospel because they don't hear this kind of preaching. Even some of you don't hear the message. But I ain't interested in no club. I want to be on a devil casting out club. That's the club I want to belong to. I want to be the overcomers club. I don't want no t-shirt attendant to lay at a sea and say, I barely made it. But I want one that says, I overcome. I overcome by the grace of God. I overcome when I didn't feel like it. I overcome when he seek the devil on me. So let me make sure I understand this right. You're anointed, Brother Ben says, and prayed for. Then he make you worse. And say, come on, Satan. And hear God speaking to your enemy. Say, come on, Satan. Put him to the test. But this is the good part. I know he believes me. Oh, friend, what would that be worse than that if we could hear Almighty God? What if Almighty God, Brother Jim, can say about you, I know Jim Babb believes me. I know Donnie Reagan, I know you sisters, you young people, I know one thing I'd rather have that said about me than anything in the world I know of. That Almighty God could testify, whether you think I'm a believer or not, that's one thing. But for God to say, I know he believes me. I've got confidence, not in his flesh, not in his spirit, but in my word. God knows better than to put ultimate confidence in any man. God had very little confidence in Moses, far as a man. Very little in Paul. Very little in Brother Branham. Very little in you. God has confidence in his words. Moses let him down. Paul failed him. Peter failed him. Brother Branham failed him. You failed him. I failed him. We've all failed him. But the word never fails. My. You imagine God saying to the devil, go ahead. Attack my daughter. I'll let her get over that cancer. And then her visit back. Let him find another mass. My son here, his blood pressure's doing great. Next time he goes, let it be through the roof. Because I know he loves me. He may look at it and say, God, I don't understand. But he ain't going to charge me foolishly. He ain't going to say, well, I'm turning my back on God. Because I know him. I know he loves me. I know he believes me. Is God saying that about your flesh? Not at all. He's saying it about the word. That's the part of you, my friends, that can stand the test. Can you understand that when you and I get so low, and our flesh gets so weary and so weak and we mouth and we belly ache and we complain. Can you understand why he don't hate your guts? Because he don't place confidence in that. He places confidence in his word. That's the part of our journey. What if God would have looked at Brother Branham sitting out west, looks out there at that man with his beard all growed out, him and Billy in the restaurant, and tells Billy Paul, that's me in the future. That's me. I want to be like that. And Billy says, oh, Daddy, that ain't you. He said, yep, that's me right there. That's me. And this man has his name, his identity written in the scripture, can point to physical scriptures that identifies him. But he's lost the vision of his people. God told him, you forgot what I called you to do. God had confidence in that word. Flesh of William Branham would have turned away. Flesh of William Branham said, I want to be a hunter. I want to be a guide. I want to be this, that, and other. God didn't have confidence in that. God had confidence in that word. God ain't got no confidence in Dial Orne, this flesh, Jim Babb, Donnie Reagan, none of the rest of us. All flesh is corruptible. What's this? Let him be anointed and pray for it, then make you worse. Say, come on, Satan. Put him to the test. I know he believes me. Bless God forever. Put him to a test. Now, I know he took my word for it. Could he say that about you? Well, I'm in a message. I believe Brother Bam had that. Oh, that's well and good. I'm talking about this. Can God say about you, he believes me with feeling, without feeling, with money, without money, in sickness and in health, in poverty, in despair, he believes me. Amen. Now watch this. You're talking about peculiar. Brother Bear said, God brings tensions into the church. For every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. He lets sickness strike you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you. Dear God, I think you folks have went into a coma. Testing, 1, 2. Let me make sure everybody's still here with me. Friends, this is part of your journey. Don't think it's peculiar. Don't think you're out of the will of God when you're being tested. God allows such things. Why do we get so torn up then when it happens? Why do we think he's forsaken us when the very thing he tells us will happen happens? And we're thinking, duh. He lets diseases. Where do we get this idea that being Christians, we're free from cancer, Alzheimer's, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, high sugar, low sugar, no sugar? Where do we get this idea? The devil's lying to you. God not only does not even tell us that he'll keep it away from it, but the message tells us he'll allow it to come on us. You say, I so low when I come in here tonight, I needed help. I'm fixing to give it to you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and prove you. Listen to this. To show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. But somehow we got it in our mind that the people with the strongest faith are the ones that every time they get sick, they pray immediately and it all leaves them. Where do we get that idea? And we say, oh, no, I'm in perfect health. I've got more faith than everybody. I doubt it. A lot of that's probably your mama's and daddy's genes. Ain't got nothing to do with your faith being so strong. Because some of them same people, when they do get sick, they get down. Because they, oh God, what's the matter? What's the matter? If you had real faith, it wouldn't do that to you. Amen. But look, what about those that believe the word? And they say, the man of God's going to pray for me tonight. He's going to lay hands on me according to the word. These signs will follow them that believe. I'm going to get better. Amen. And we have to rest you to the ER after church. For the very thing I prayed for, plus 3 more things that came with it after I prayed for you. You coming back Saturday night and has been praying for you again? Some of you won't. Dear God, that man's dangerous. I had one thing and I'm enough for prayer. I had 14 when I left. Man, I ain't going back for prayer no more. Why? Because your confidence is not in His Word. You're looking at something else. But what if a person stands up and said, I believe him. And they have to go to the hospital and have to be operated on. And they have to do this and have to do that and the other. And we said, they ain't got no faith. You better reread your Bible. Because when they're praying and being prayed for and prayed and being prayed for and praying and being prayed for and praying and being prayed for, and it don't seem like God nowhere's around, they're still trusting Him. And their faith says, I know He's my healer. If I die with this disease, I know He's a healer. I defy, I don't care what happens to me, I know He is. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice He says He lets diseases come on you to test you and prove you. To show the world that you're true to the seed of Abraham. He permits it by His own will. He permits disasters. But why is it, friends, when disasters happen to us as an individual or a family or a church, why is it we want to start sizing up that person and say, they're out of the will of God? God's punishing them. It's amazing to me how we can find the will of God for somebody else so quick. Take us 47 years to find it out for ourselves. Now, something happened to brother so-and-so at your church, man. I'll tell you what, God was getting back in. He kind of snarled at me last Wednesday night at church. God's getting him back. He shouldn't have done that to me. Yet that same thing happened to you, and you're being tested. Whoa. I'm going to preach with or without you all. Except to you. Oh my, can you imagine God letting such thing arise and come among us? Diseases, disasters. And the real people of God, they cry. They don't understand, but they do understand this. He is in control. Whether I make sense of it or not, whether I can understand it or not, has nothing to do with it. He permits disasters. He permits friends to turn against you. He permits all these things and turn the devil loose to tempt you. And he'll do all but take your life. Throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. And he can do most anything. And it's God's will for him to do it. Praise the Lord. But we are taught it is more precious than gold to us. Anybody here besides me need that quickened to him? Now, if I had a week's worth of gold laying here, the price of gold right now, I'd be a rich man, wouldn't I? If you could take my burdens and my responsibility and my load and weigh it out by pounds and then measure it out to gold, I'd be a rich man. But what if God kept the money and gave me the troubles? Would I still consider myself rich? Or would I look and think, somehow, God, you don't love me. God, have you got something against me? No. He has everything for me. He loves me. He's working it for my good. But it's the way I'm looking at it. Oh, my goodness. This quote went over so good, I'm going to read it again. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you. To show the world you're truly the seed of Abraham. He permits it by His own will. He permits disasters. He permits the friends to turn against you. He permits all these things. Turn the devil loose to tempt you. He'll do all but take your life, throw you on a bed of affliction, turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. Now, not just you thinking nobody likes you. Because a lot of times we think it ain't nothing but a lie. But actually, if everybody was totally against you, and the devil can actually be allowed to do such a thing. What if everybody in this church, for no apparent justifiable reason, turned against you? And yet you felt this was your church. And God placed you here to feed. Could you walk by all of those sneering, laughing people and walk to the front pew and sit down and say, I'm praying for every one of y'all. But I come to get helped. Or would you make it past the last pew? What if everybody in this place hated you? Everybody! And yet God told you this is why I want you to go to church and you better not leave. Would you walk by everybody? Not arrogantly, not proud, but knowing this is my position and I'm not leaving. Even Brother Donnie ain't running me off. I don't care how hard he tries, or Brother Jim Bamber, or the deacons, or the trustees, whoever, nobody's running me off. Even Jesus himself ain't kicking me out of here. Because this is where I belong. Could you do it? Or would we feel so sorry for ourselves and baby ourselves? I ain't going back no more. What if he revealed it to you and then let you be tried by every member on every pew? As you walked up and sat down and you felt their jeers, you felt the jabbing of their spear, and you said, it ain't stopping me, none. I've come to church, this is where I belong, I'm being fed, I'm worshiping, I'm coming here, this is where I'm going to be raptured out of here. What about it, Happy Valley, could you? For some of y'all, it takes us one old long tongue gospel, and you're ready to quit just after one. Sunday morning come one time, and wife went in and told this man, said, you need to get up, you need to go to church. I don't want to go. She goes back in, fixed breakfast, come back in and said, it's getting close to church time, you better get up. Said, I don't want to go. The people don't like me. They don't treat me good, they talk about me. She goes back, fixes his coffee. Finishes up his toast. Said, come on now, honey. We're going to be late for church. Said, I told you, I don't want to go. She said, but you got to. You're the pastor. Wow. What if God allowed every person in this church to turn against you? Nobody would shake your hand. They would all turn their back on you. But Almighty God told you, you come here because from this place you'll get a word that will rapture you. Friends, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? When we profess, we believe this message. We believe He's our Savior. We believe our healer. That very profession, we will be tried. That word will be tried. So just get up and put your clothes on and come to church. Watch, Brother Bim says, we're expected to be tested. I give a little few words about a man that's going through a trial and had an interview with Brother Branham before, and he said, that's a good lesson for my brother back there. He that cometh to God must be tested. Tested what? With the word. Now this is not temptation of sin. This is when the word is trying you. I ain't talking about pornography. I ain't talking about drinking. I ain't talking about adultery. I'm talking about the word. When the word itself tries you. You say, that's scary. No, it ain't. As long as it's the word trying the word, I got the goods. If it's the word trying my flesh, I'm scared already. If it's a word trying my spirit, if it's a word trying my memory, trying my imagination, I'm scared already. But if I've got the word, and the word is trying the word ain't afraid of the test. Do you think Matthew 28:19 runs and hides its ears when Acts 2:38 tests it? Do you think Acts 2:38 runs behind the organ when Matthew 28:19 tests it? Of course not. Because the word is proven by the word. Oh, glory. Don't you see the word in you is not proven? I believe. That's a bunch of words. But when the word itself tries that word in you, it connects. The flesh gives way. Reason gives way. All that gives away. But not the word. Tested what? With the word. That's God's test. Do you believe it?
Amen.
He that cometh to God must be tested. That only shows a true child then. See? Be tested. When the test come on, you can't overcome. Unless there's a test give to you. How do you get a testimony? Test. And when the test given, it sees to whether you can overcome or not. Jesus said to him that overcometh the test. The test. I know we don't believe in this, but I'm going to read it anyway. The test is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Oh, you said the greatest thing ever happened to me is when I come to this message. No, it wasn't. The greatest thing that happened to you is where you can stay in it. But it's if you're part of it, not become inept, a religious fanatic. The test is the greatest thing. Well, I heard the gospel is the greatest thing. No, that's not the greatest thing. The test is when that word tries you. Will the word connect in the soul? And there it anchors. It goes past reasoning. It goes past imagination. It goes past conscious memory, love, affection, all of that. And it ties right to that word. The word written for the word for the hour. And it goes right to that word. And it says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give and the Lord took away. I can't turn my back on him. Notice this in Victory Day. Remember, God has counted you worthy when you have a test. Now don't fail this to get this. When you have a trial or a test, it shows the grace of God. Listen to this. You have found favor with God. But we think all of our bills being paid, a new Cadillac every year, a new BMW or Mercedes or big house, new boats, new cars, new this, that, and the other. My, that's God's favor. That's not the message, though.
No.
That's the Laodicea mixed with the message.
Right.
To convince us that's God's favor.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing to do with God's favor.
Many
folks would be much better off if they had a whole lot less. I can remember some folks who come to this church, and when they started making so much money, many of them backslid. Many of them are worse off now spiritually than they was when they're struggling to make a living. Why? Because their old stinking money got in their way. And they thought making money was more important than come to the house of God. You'd be better off living on the side of the road in a single wide trailer and having a place with God than making all kinds of money and out of fellowship with God, friends. Notice, when you have a trial or a test, it shows the grace of God. You have found favor with God. Listen now. And God believes. Oh my God. God believes that you'll stand the test. I wonder how many things God believes. God don't believe in religion. God don't believe in denomination. God don't believe a lot of the nonsense that goes around this message in the name of the message. God don't believe in cults. God don't believe in fanaticism. God don't believe in a lot of things. But if God can find a child that seed, that word's anchored in, God believes that seed will stand the test. And you want to be a great person. You want to accomplish something in your life. You housewives think, I've never done nothing. I've raised my kids. I've done this or that, the other. You say, oh, I wish I could be something. Listen, my friend, if Almighty God believes you and believes in that seed inside of you, you're one of the most blessed people that have ever taken a mortal breath on this earth. Do you realize billions of people on the face of this earth tonight, I wonder how many of them God believes in. But when God sees that seed and he sends the word to try that word, that attribute that stepped from eternity and embodied itself in this man, woman, boy or girl, God can pile the test because he knows that word can take it. The flesh can't. We get weary. I don't mind telling you, I get weary with tests and trials. Don't you? I do. But boy, that son on the inside, he's leaping for joy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. God believes that you'll stand the test. Remember, he did the same thing but Job. Satan said, oh yes, I seen Job down there. Said God said he's a perfect servant. There's none on the earth like him. What's God in other heaven? A testimony meeting up heaven. God's doing the testifying. It's amazing when God calls a testimony meeting, he invites the devil to come down and sit in the church while God testifies about his kids. Woo! Shut up, devil, and sit there and listen. So here's God up there in heaven. Glory to God, I'll tell you one thing. That Job, he's a son of God. He stands on the word. There ain't nobody sings it. Can I say something? Shut up. I'll tell you one thing. That Job, he loves me. He stands and sings it. I said, shut up. But God said, you had something you wanted to say. Well, what I wanted to say was, sure, he's your pet. You baby him. You keep him around everything. That's not the truth. Try him. He's my boy. But the problem was, when the test struck the earth, Job wasn't privy to this testimony meeting in heaven. You see, had he known what God had said, he would have overcome by that previous knowledge. Don't you understand? If you were to come through the theophany, know you'd existed before, there would be no question about your destiny. There'd be no need of your faith. I'm going right back. Hallelujah to God. I'm going right there. That devil, you ain't bothering me, boy. I come from God. I stepped out of a theophany body and I come down here. I'm stepping. Get out of my way, devil. I don't need faith no more, glory. I'll tell you one thing. I know I was there, but we're not saved by that. And Job did not know what God said about him. All of a sudden, everything turns wrong. And Job's thinking, what in the world? And then the message friends got around him and said, he's sinning. I've always noticed something funny about him. I hate that reverse prophecy, don't you? Ooh, I've always felt funny about him. You liar. I never could put my finger on it. Yeah, your finger, nor your nose, nor your big toe, or nothing else. Backwards prophecy. Come on, friends. Everybody accused him. His friends, and it got down to even his wife, said, Job, you're a miserable wretch. Why don't you curse God? What a terrible thing. The closest one to him in life. God allowed Satan to anoint his wife. He said, you miserable thing. Our home is a wretch because of you. You're stinking. You got them boils all over your flesh and rotten. Your honor's gone. Your reputation's gone. The slaves are gone. Our money's gone. Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. The Lord give and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And think of it, this man didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Watch this. I love the way Brother Branham phrases this in his Kentucky way of saying it. Satan said, I've seen Job down there. Yeah, God said he's a perfect servant. Well, there's none on the earth like him. There's nobody like Job. He's a perfect man. He's my pride and joy. Lord, children. I tell you, what would that be worth to us?
Amen.
To know that Almighty God felt that about you.
Amen.
As an individual. He is my pride and joy. She is my pride and joy. And because you are his pride and joy, he'll let nearly everything be taken from you. Well, glory to God. I think I might need to preach this next Wednesday night again. Satan said, oh, sure. He gets everything he asks for. Let me have him once. I'll make him curse you to your very face. I'll just make him curse you. God said, he's in your hands. But don't you take his life. Listen to this. God had confidence. Job. And yet Job's flesh got to the place he said, cursed be the day I was born. Why was it that my mother did not, in our terms, miscarry me? Cursed be the day I even come to the earth. Is that what God had confidence in? God knew that would come to that. Then if God had confidence in that, that failed God. And it proves God didn't know what he was going to do. But God didn't have confidence in Job. God had confidence in Job.
Amen.
Well, if God ain't got no confidence in Job, why should I have confidence in Job? If God ain't confidence in Janet, why should you have confidence in Janet? If God ain't got confidence in Terry, why should you have it in Terry? You understand what I'm saying? God has confidence in that word. Let's stand. Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think about it, friends. Oh, I know this part is not as heavenly. And it's not as deep. But come on, face reality. In all reality, you can't understand it better. It's where the rubber meets the road, basically. It's where we live. It's where we walk. It's where we think. Our shortcomings, our frustrations of life, and all the things that we go through. I can understand tests a whole lot better than I can a theophany. Theophany is basically a theological term that I take Brother Bram's word for. And the theologians who so devised this Greek word, I've never seen one, I don't guess. I've never felt one, I don't guess. I've heard from one. But now test? Ah. I've seen one or two in my life. I failed some too. Don't disappoint me if I hear some great theological term and I really don't understand it. Brother Nathan Bryant sent me a term yesterday by an email. Homiliophobia. You know, this is an A of phobias and fears. Homiliophobia is a fear of sermons. It's an actual phobia. Google it tonight when you go home. It's an actual phobia. You know what? And I read that. I realized some of the folks, I believe at Happy Valley, have got that. A lot of the folks in the message have got it bad. It's actually a phobia. A real phobia. And in common layman terms, they say it's the fear of being preached on. And it's actually a phobia. And there's medicine for it. I'm not making fun, honestly. I just found it. There's medicine, but it has some really bad side effects. Honestly. There's medicine. Oh my goodness. But you think how Satan can move? So move. and produce something that you and I need so much and make us afraid of it. Well, probably most of you don't have that. Or somebody said, oh God, I've got it. I just recognize that's what I've got. I'm scared of Brother Donnie's sermons. I've got some medicine. I got some gospels. But the very thing that I need in my life, tests and trials, to get all the coal, all the dirt, all the things out of me, Brother Tracy, is the very things I don't want. And yet he knows I need them. We'll look at it, Lord willing, next week maybe. When you imagine a man like Paul, he's carried up into paradise. 14 years after he was able to give a little bit brief description of it. And he says, because of the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that should buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he goes to heaven, and because of that trip, he pays the rest of his life. Not a thorn in the spirit, not a thorn in the soul, but a thorn in the flesh. Why? The chances of pride and of being exalted because of that visitation. You mean the new birth never kept that away from him? No. A thorn had to do what the new birth could not. You see, Romans 7 was still active even after he had this visitation. Of course, you do believe that this is after he's born again. So here Paul has to have this thorn in the flesh. Brother man said he'd get better, and then he'd knock him down, and then he'd get better, and then he'd knock him down. Now you imagine for a preacher? And this thorn, of course, is his eyes. He missed Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus turns up the luminosity of that pillar of fire just bright enough to where it will permanently damage his eyes. He could have backed off the luminosity of that pillar of fire just a few decibels, maybe just a few meters of light, and it would have been enough to flash him and affect him, and he might have been burned like a welder. Those of you who know anything about welders know if you look at a welder when it's arcing, your eyes can be burned, and your eyes will water and pour the water, and they'll be red, and it'll burn for several days, and then it's gone. Jesus could have done that to Paul, but instead he turned up the luminosity of that pillar of fire just enough so it would burn him, and he would get better and get worse. It just so happens he's not a preacher, but he's a writer. So he's got to write these epistles. And he said, I had to write them in large letters. Wasn't there was that many pages and paragraphs, but big letters, because he couldn't see them. He'd rub his eyes. He said, I sought the Lord thrice about this. But Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient. He said that I will glory in my infirmities. He saw it was for a reason. Our tests, my friends, no matter how lovely you think you are, and I know some of you think you're the next thing to Gabriel, but I'm going to tell you, we are not. Our stinking old flesh, from the pulpit to the back door to the people streaming in the Netherlands and wherever more, we're stinking, rotten human beings. Don't you see now? This old body. We need these things to bring us to this spot. Let's bow our heads. If you don't leave this place with anything else tonight but this, if God allows you to be tested, now not self-inflicted things, but God allows you to be tested and tried, I want you to walk out here tonight knowing you're a rich man, a rich woman, boy or girl, because you found favor in the eyes of God. Maybe you've asked God and asked God and asked God for healing. Maybe some of your sisters have asked Him for a husband. Some of you men have asked Him for a wife. You've asked for this and that and the other. And it seems like it evades you everywhere you go. Just keep believing Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep trusting Him. It's not always the person who gets it immediately that has the strongest faith, but maybe that one who continuously believes when no is constantly thrown up in their face. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. I know these things, they're not really pleasant for us, Father. But I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for the service tonight. I pray it go to each of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Go to mine. Every person here, those that will stream it, grant it, dear God, that we can walk away from here tonight knowing we have found favor in the eyes of God when we have tested. Bless your children, Lord. Keep them strong when disasters come, when diseases strike their body, sickness and afflictions. Keep them true, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, dear God. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. May this part of the journey of our life be completed faithfully. I come from you as an attribute. May I leave with that deposit of the word in my soul, faithfully executed. Lord Jesus, I want you to be able to have confidence in that word. Grant it, Lord. Go with your children now, Lord God, I pray. Amen. How many wants God to have confidence in you? That God can say, I know him, I know her. Oh, she's tried, she's tested, but she loves me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep me sanctified when the storm clouds gather. This weekend, when the battle gets rough.